This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, people? This is the Reverend Spiro, and this is Eating Disorder. I'm here with my buddy Crazy Legs Conte. Crazy Legs, how you doing?
I am honored to be here.
Honored.
Yes.
Really?
Well, it's an important date for you, calendar-wise, and it's an important date for me. It's 420, but that means nothing to me in the way that you're excited about it.
Dude, I don't smoke pot either.
Nor do I. But in Boston, I am a masshole and a New Yorker. It is Patriots Day.
Oh, right.
So it's a big day in Boston.
Oh, yeah, you can go fuck yourself.
All right, fair enough. All right. Maybe you should start smoking pot. It'll mellow you out. But I started my day at a bar, Professor Tom's, watching the streaming. This is how good they are to me. If you have a Boston bar in New York, I don't have a TV. The streaming capabilities, they put it on the big screen for me. The Red Sox played at 10 a.m.
Really?
And I was drinking a coffee stout about that time, watching the Boston Marathon. So it was great. And then I had to go to like a wine tasting, mostly for the free food, the cheese layout. But I just ended up drinking whiskey, rosé, some other South American wines, and finished with a sherry cocktail.
Oh, yeah, because I want your fucking life. You know what I did all day? I sat in a cube.
I know.
That's what
I
sat in a cube.
Yeah.
And I talked to advertising people. That's what I did all day.
I did stop by the Major League Eating Office on Madison. And I managed to get enough scratch from promoting a contest that I could buy a cigar at Nat Sherman. So it's been a good day so far, and I'm pretty excited about tonight's show.
I am too.
Anytime we've had musicians on, it's really taken Eating Disorder to the next level.
Oh, of course. It's taken it to the next level, and it's taken it to the point where we were trying to do a show about food, and we said, fuck it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about something we know better than food. We eat a lot of food, but we feed our ears with a lot of music. And we've been trying to get the band on for a while.
Yes,
but they've been traveling.
Yes, you have.
Various means of travel, too. I think they were in a van, we'll have to hear about it, coming back from South by Southwest. But why don't you introduce the band?
I want to introduce our friends, Revel and Dimes.
What's up?
Hey.
And basically, who do we have in the studio today? We got Eric Simmons.
Simons.
Sorry. I've known you for fucking years, and I didn't get that. All right, fuck you. You still call me Spyro.
No,
you
do. Right.
All right, you do. All right. Okay.
Except my boy Spy.
We got Kira Warren.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And we have Wash.
That's right.
A.K.A. Washington Duke.
Yeah, Washington.
Now, I met these guys a few years back. Now, they were in a band called the Dukes of Brooklyn, which I loved. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a story about... These guys did a show for me when there was a bar that I'm not going to mention that was bought by a douche.
How often does that happen?
No, this particular douche was actually
We played or after?
No. This is that show you did for me that night.
Okay.
What happened was there was a bar that we all hung out with. All those people that were there that night all hung out at this one bar, and the douche that bought the bar.
Yes.
All right. Created a situation where he was quoted in the Observer saying, "Oh, I'm the new Brooklyn, and it's about people who are buying these $600,000 condos, and it's not about these fucking hipsters and blah, 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 blah." Now, all the people who showed up to that show were bartenders who worked in the neighborhood.
Okay.
Right? So I did a PowerPoint presentation about the douche,
and
then these guys played. And they were fucking awesome, they killed it.
Was the PowerPoint presentation to upend?
I did a douche graph.
Yes.
Like, in other words, like, right. You know, Williamsburg, 1975. Okay. Zero level douche.
Yeah.
Williamsburg.
Right.
1980.
Wait, I think this was the night that we actually came up with the name Revel and Dimes. We were still we were still the Dukes at that time,
for
right?
For those who can't see in the studio, I liked it when the Rev was like, you remember that night that you guys played? And then our three musicians were in their mind. They're like, we've only played maybe 10,000 to 30,000 nights, so we'll just go along with it. But you actually remember,
now I remember
the birthplace.
Yes.
So what,
Eric
what
filled
happened?
Me in.
How did the band get its name? That night, let's say, for all intents and purposes.
It's not a very interesting story.
I think it is. I like it.
I was trying to get a cab with a friend of mine, and we were both pretty much broke.
Okay.
And so, you know, we decided, because it was raining, we weren't going to take the train.
Yep.
And we just basically said, look, I'm just rubbing dimes together.
Okay.
You know, so, and then she's like, she was a rebel in what? No. Eventually,
right.
It came out to Revel in Dimes.
Yeah, all right, good.
And I threw it out there, and at that time, the previous band just broke up, and we were just like, yeah, that's what we're calling it.
Sounds right. Cool. It's got a ring to it. Now we got to figure out what the hell it means.
Oh. Yeah. No, it's beautiful. I love the concept of the dime. I love everything about dimes. I always tell people, like, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to squeeze dimes out of dollars.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
Trying to make a dollar out of $5. What? No.
No. That's right.
We don't do
almost
math.
At it.
That's fine. Now, so this
no
is,
mention of dollars.
Is there a season for touring? Because we know we're talking off air. South by Southwest, which we want to get into. And you also mm-hmm. were in Miami for Art Basel.
Yep.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And you guys played a show with TV on the Radio?
That's right.
All
right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's got, you know.
That was super cool. That was like, that was really fun to see some, you know, Brooklyn rock and roll in Miami. It was, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely kind of strange, but it was cool. People were into it.
Give me the difference between South by Southwest and Art Basel. Because I'm picturing, like,
I mean,
50 degrees.
Yeah. It's the difference between Miami and Austin, really. You know, it's just totally different vibes, you know.
Yeah. Now, how many shows did you play at South by Southwest?
We did three shows in one day.
In one day, okay.
Yeah, we hung out for like 4 days, and then by the time it was time to play, we were like tired and hungover.
Did you see other bands?
Yeah, we saw a bunch of other bands.
You went around, all right. And the venues there are great. I love movies. The
Super
Alamo
cool.
Draft House is my favorite on the planet. But I've been fortunate I got a buddy there, so I've hit a lot of the places. The one thing I feel like Austin does well is they've figured out how to have live music in places that don't look like they necessarily should have live music, and it all works.
Everywhere there's live
music. Yeah,
a backyard barbecue.
Yeah.
I passed past the highway.
Made for the, no, it was like in a
yeah, it was like a residential neighborhood.
Yeah. Not far.
Okay.
In a residential neighborhood.
Nice.
I think the highlight was the Continental, though.
Yeah. That was just straight local, you know, like
okay.
kind of honky-tonk,
mm-hmm.
like good country music and people dancing and... Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then what? And where does your? How far do your travels take you on the road?
Are you big in Japan?
Working on it.
Japan isn't that old.
Austin's the farthest we've been.
Okay.
But we actually just signed a deal with a label in the Netherlands.
Oh, wow! All right.
So you know they're going to put out an EP, and you know, and then. There's talk of a tour there. It was supposed to be this summer. I think we're pushing it back because we're trying to get them the music and get all our artwork together and everything.
Yeah,
so
you know why?
But we're going over there at some point. You know,
okay.
Well, I mean, and again, it's the joke about South America, the Netherlands, Germany, Japan. They still like live music. They actually come mm-hmm. out and appreciate it. Unlike us jaded New Yorkers, who say they're like, I can do that better.
and the Netherlands, does 420 mean anything?
I don't know. Do they smoke
it
a lot
must.
Of pot in the Netherlands?
I don't know. Maybe it's
how
smoke,
did it come
it
about?
Smoke
is it
fish?
Because of the time?
I don't know.
Is it because of the time? Because at 420, a lot of people light a joint.
No, 420 is a police code.
Yeah, police code. 420
oh,
in progress.
Line. Yeah, and when it comes down to it, it's become outside in the bar right now. They're playing, you know, Cypress Hill, and they're playing Cheech and Chong albums and all that kind of stuff, which is also awesome. But
what happens when?
Oh, your bass player just showed
hey,
up.
Excellent. Oh, what's up, man?
Hey. Come on in.
Right on time.
You get the uncomfortable seat.
Yes.
What happens when marijuana becomes legalized, though? Then isn't every day 420?
Well, I mean, if you talk to like Chris Christie, well, marijuana will never become legalized because he's trying to fight it in case he becomes president. But the fat fuck won't legalize.
I don't think he's going to be president.
But he won't legalize Twinkies.
Yeah,
and I think Twinkies have killed more fucking people than fucking marijuana.
Well, yeah. As someone who's
though they saved the what do you call it? The family from Family Guy. They did. Remember the Twinkie Factory episode?
I do know. All right. Do you guys, so in that vein of, do you find life on the road requires drugs, drinking? Is what they say true about sort of the boredom of, you know, I've been reading a lot of AC/DC stuff lately, and Highway to Hell is just about a band on the road, and this is just like awful. Is that the case, or are you guys excited when you're out on the road?
I like to talk about that.
Oh. Hey, the new guy.
And this is Primo who just joined us.
Yes.
Thank you, even though you're fucking late.
Oh, that's all right.
Sorry about that. I don't think that being on the road makes you want to do drugs, but I think that if you like doing drugs, then it would probably enhance that because you got a lot of free time that you don't really have to think about normal stuff that you have to normally think about. So, like, if that's what you do, you know, it might go up a notch, you know?
Yeah, plenty of time for that.
Yeah.
We're not really at that tour bus sitting around with nothing to do between here and Chicago type of band just yet. So we have to, like, deal with somebody's got to be able to be in the position to drive the cramped up van or truck or car that you're in. And so, like, on the road, it's pretty much just everything's from getting from A to B, and then once we get there, and then maybe some drinking and drugging might happen.
I think to make the choice to be locked in a van with three dudes, I'd have to be either drunk or high.
Yeah.
So I'm going to speak for myself and say, yeah.
How do you guys? How do you get
that smell back there?
Yeah. I guarantee once you get a driver in the Netherlands, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
What? How do you decide who has to get behind the wheel? Is it a draw straws? Is it a...
Well, we drove my truck to Austin, and only two of us can drive sticks, so that pretty much eliminates half
the what if you're going to go to, like, England or Ireland, somebody has to drive on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
I'm kind of cool with that, driving in, like, Jamaica, yeah.
Okay.
Really?
The wheels on the other side, and driving around a cliff at, like, 60 miles an hour. I can get down with the
Yeah, you just terrified me when you said that.
My own life flashed before my eyes, yeah.
Closer to home, what venues do you like to play?
Tonight we're playing we're playing at Bowery Electric.
Oh, wow. All right.
That's been a... well, you know, y'all.
That's good. Have you? Yeah. Have you played there before?
Shameless plug.
That's actually been like a really nice home for us.
They're
super good to us. I really like that room. It's always intimate, and I just like the way it's laid out and always good sound. And cool people.
I thought the sound was excellent. I was at a Dwarves show there recently, and unfortunately I got beat up punched by two girls and punched in the head. But I remember even thinking the sound was still pretty good after I was like, and the weird thing, my hat didn't fall off, and I didn't lose my library book. So, but I've been there before. That's a great spot.
Yeah.
That's basically the last bastion of what used to be sort of that area's CBGBs and a few other clubs and Coney Island High. So that's great. What time do you guys go on?
We hit at 9:30, 9:45. So,
Primo, you might be late for that one too.
No, he's with us now.
And where else do you play?
A local spot. We love the Cobra Club.
Where's that?
I used to DJ there.
In super Bushwick. Cool spot. Yeah, it's right here.
Yeah, I used to DJ there.
Is it on Wyckoff?
Yeah, it's on Wyckoff. Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
It's just a dive bar.
They have a big yoga room.
Yeah, and that's which at night is like has a stage, and they put on rock bands.
Rock and roll yoga.
During the day, they have a yoga room, and in the back it's a rock band.
We all find namaste one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's see, what else?
A little bit further out.
Bazaar is pretty cool.
I love Surf Lodge.
Yeah, true. Surf Lodge out in Montauk, that's actually where we met Kia.
Okay.
Wow,
so,
really?
So that was, you know, always a great vibe there. Like, super cool and you know, obviously, you know, had the luck of running into our front lady over there, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's always fun. We'll be out there a bunch this summer.
We like playing the places where they feed us.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Roberta's. We gotta...
Exactly. There's food over there, by the way. Yeah. Don't touch it. You can't move. You're late, so you gotta wait.
You gotta wait. Like a last bite. Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
How rude.
He just ate your salami.
Easy. Rev, are we gonna...
Can you say that on the radio?
Yeah, he said that on the radio.
Oh, this is a family show.
Speaking of music, can we hear a song?
Yeah, I think we're gonna. Liz, can we cue up a song and go to break?
Oh yeah, all right.
One of my favorites here. How you doing, man? Sorry I'm a little late.
Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
We're back.
Yes.
And we're gonna start a little bit with Crazy Legs asked me about Greek Easter, Greaster, as we like to call it. Mm. And one of the reasons that we want to talk about Greaster is because we eat disgusting things that Americans freak out about, including sweetbreads, which is kind of okay. Like, some people do that. But we also eat kidneys and hearts and lungs and
chitlins. The lungs of what animal?
All lamb.
You can't get cheap lungs. That's why we can't get good haggis in the United States.
Well, that's it. I mean, no, you can if you know the right Greek.
That makes sense.
But it's a younger lamb, so it's hard to do that with a smaller animal.
Okay.
You know, but
there's a lot of things that are harder to do with the smaller animals. What? Talking about veal, of course. What do you mean? What is everybody else thinking? We're back with Revel and Dimes. The band, and I guess we were talking food and munchies. Is that where you're going to go with this?
I was going to go with munchies. I was going to go. I mean, it's still 420.
All right.
And Eric was giving us a story about getting arrested. But I'd like to know more about how it happened, why it happened, and what the details were.
It, It all started when we decided we were going to go down to the Winfield Bluegrass Festival in Kansas, tripping. Right? And drinking a lot of alcohol. But unbeknownst to me, there was like a Glad trash bag full of weed in the trunk. Right? Ooh. And so we got pulled over because, you know, you have to relieve yourself at some point. And officer says, you're not in the moving vehicle, so you're going to have to just give me all those empty open containers and put them in your trunk. And everybody's looking at each other, and I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. And so the guy breaks a key off in the lock. So, the officer's like, I'm going to take those with me. And then for some reason, in slow motion, the trunk opens up.
Oh! And the Bela Lugosi coming out of the crypt.
Yeah. Yeah, good move to break the key off.
I never thought of that.
Little tip to our listeners there.
Drunk
yeah.
and tripping. And, just
and then the guy's like, now cars have electronic locks. He's like, I broke the electronic lock. So it goes up. And the guy probably smells it or sees it or...
Well, there's a, you know...
It's a garbage bag full of pot. Yeah.
Construction bag.
A Harold and Kumar-esque amount.
Harvested weed. So this happens to be in the 4th of July weekend or something like that.
Oh,
and so
even worse.
We're in the Garnett County, what have you, and then, I don't know, like the guy's got a Molly Hatchet t-shirt. And he's like the judge, justice of the peace.
Right.
You know, everything. And I kind of got off scot-free because, they all... tried to convince them that the black guy's innocent, and somehow it worked.
Oh, wow.
All right.
So you weren't flagged.
I really
with the
didn't know anything about the weed.
I
know, in Kansas, of all places.
Kansas, sorry.
Okay, let me, around the room. First experience, my first experience with pot was weirder than most Americans, because where I come from in Greece, which is Kalamata, right, it's the pot growing capital of Europe.
See, I would have guessed olives, but go ahead.
No, but for the same reason.
Okay.
It grows wild.
All right.
So all my uncles, they smoke like fucking bandits. I mean, they're constantly smoking. So it wasn't a big deal in my family, right? But I want to know about your first experiences with pot. I mean, let's start with you, because you really look like you had an interesting story.
Yeah. I'm on me right now. Well, I grew up around pot a lot since I was a kid, so it wasn't really a big deal. But my first time smoking was actually with a friend in Pratt. I used to live near Pratt back in the days.
In Brooklyn?
In Brooklyn, yeah. Pratt University or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we used to climb over the fence of Pratt and hang out in the Pratt yard when they were closed, because we lived across the street. And, you know, we smoked there, and I was like, I'm not even high, man. Like, you know, you always don't think you're high, like, you know.
But then you were clearly, if you're breaking into art schools, you're probably high. But then again, I think maybe you've just proved that pot is a gateway drug to, like,
art.
You're like, you know what? I'm going to go check out some Matisse. I'm so high, yeah.
Kia, what about you?
I mean, I hate to be like this kind of stereotypical person, but I'm Jamaican, so I pretty much, I can't even remember the first time I was exposed to it. Someone was always like blowing it, wafting it into my face when I was like 8 or 9 years old. So I was never interested in it because like my parents never hid anything from me. So like drugs, alcohol would literally just kind of, not like they were like walking around being crazy, they trusted us, so... I guess when I went back to college, I was kind of like, there's nothing else to do, and like just started smoking pot, and that was really
boring. I got to ask, because I read the Keith Richards autobiography, and he talks about he would go to play with these Jamaican musicians, and they would have this giant, tub of rum that was bubbling, and there would be things, and they would filter pot smoke through it, and you would some. Did you ever see any of that? Like in my mind,
I think Keith Richards was high.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. That was the one.
He wasn't.
Of all the stories in the book, that was the one I had trouble. I was like, I don't understand how this works. You know.
Damn, but I got to look for that next time I go back to.
I know,
Jamaica.
Right? Doesn't that sound good?
It does. Sound awesome.
Well, Wash, where are you from?
Bubbling rum
and
pot.
Where is your pot story?
So I definitely like opposite side of the wall. Like, you know, my folks were, my mom especially, totally anti. You know, she found a bag of weed and she like had a heart attack, flushed it down the toilet, tried to send me to a shrink, you know. So it was not cool, but you know, she got used to it.
And I have yet to have my first pot experience. I have never smoked.
Yes, yes, yes.
I will say this, though.
All right,
though,
let's do it.
In college.
Is there some blinds in the stuff?
In college, I lived in a frat house, and every Sunday, these guys in this one room would try to figure out new ways to smoke pot.
Sort
of, and just weird, like, you know, it was a fancy school, but they couldn't figure out, like, they wanted to put it up through, like, a 2-gallon milk container and capture it or blow it into bubbles. But I had a toaster that made 4 slices of toast, and clearly I was getting a contact high, because I would sit there all Sunday and watch them try to smoke pot, and I would go through like 2 loaves of bread eating toast, and that was kind of my
toast
thing.
Toast is a good munchie.
Yeah.
Understand that our lovely co-host here, with the dreadlocks.
Yeah.
All right, and the beard.
I get asked for pot all the time.
Who is a competitive eater living? Doesn't smoke pot.
That's true. I did do one. I did my 1 week of drugs at Burning Man. But recently, somebody gave me something that they said was acid. It tasted like a paper towel, and I don't think anything happened. But I was eating fish soup in Chinatown at 8 a.m. and I didn't go to bed for like 40 hours. So I did get pink eye.
I do.
As a cautionary tale, if you're going to do fake acid, you might get conjunctivitis.
I could hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, recently, yeah. A friend of mine who will be named Bob.
Bob. Okay.
Bob, you know who you are. during the Christmas season, as a gift, gave me a bag full of legal edibles. Okay. There were gummy bears and jelly rings.
Those will get you.
Right? And well, here's the thing. Not my thing, but he's like, make him stocking stuffers. I'm like, yes, I will. Mm-hmm. That's fine. So I have a lot of friends.
For your family?
No, for friends and neighbors and, you know, and people like these fine folks.
Oh,
all right. So I got these little, like, baggies, and I put them in there for, you know, for everybody. My friend Matt, who I can mention, who is one of our listeners, who is listening right now, I gave him three gummies, like three gummy bears, little tiny gummy bears. Right, and I told him, if you don't smoke a lot of pot, please just take it easy. Have one, and then maybe have a meal, and then maybe have a beer, and then chill. He ate all three.
Of course,
he did.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Rookie mistake.
And you know, and he still has the mark on his head. You know, that pretty much where he ate shit. Matt, that's right. We're talking about you. We know you're listening.
He ate so much pot, he had the dexterity of a gummy bear.
He ate three gummy bears. He had three motherfucking gummy bears.
Those gummy bears, they don't have opposable thumbs, so they go down hard.
They don't have opposable anything.
That's what's so lethal about putting it into a gummy bear. I mean, how the hell are you just going to eat one gummy bear? I mean,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's like pot Lays.
I have a question.
Yes.
Are there rules against pot in competitive eating?
There are no drug testing is yet to come to competitive eating, but we ran an unofficial Coleman's Bar and Grill. We ran an unofficial grilled cheese eating contest where most of the competitors were either drunk or high or both, and the issue is that in competitive eating, it's a flurry of activity. It's, you know, mind over stomach matter. It's, you know, manual to oral dexterity. Mm-hmm. If you've smoked so much pot and you're in a grilled cheese contest, you mostly just stand around and smile. It was like my buddy Joe Hoback. I was like, it's a contest. And I'm like, you know, you have to eat the sandwich. He was like, oh, he's just kind of rubbing it on his face. And so yeah, so I don't think it's going to pan out. But you never know. Anything to get an advantage.
Well, I mean, at one point or another, it might become competitive edible competition.
Oh, all right. Going back to a band diametrically opposed to you guys, in the Kiss autobiographies, they're mostly written to anger the other members, but everyone tells the only story they all agreed on was Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley are teetotalers, no drugs, no alcohol, but Gene Simmons has a sweet tooth. And I guess someone dropped off a tray of pot brownies for Ace Frehley.
Nice.
And Gene Simmons was in the back room, and he ate 6 of them. And the whole band loved it because he's kind of a douchebag.
Oh, total
and
dick.
They kept sending him around to the other band members, and we're like, go and see Peter Chris and tell him what you told me. And he's like, I'm really high. Tell me honestly, is my head very small? It feels like my body's very big and my head is very small. And they would just laugh and send it to the next guy.
I think that's a fair description.
Yeah, all right. So that's good to know. So I feel like I can enjoy it vicariously.
All right, all right. before we wrap up, we got a couple more minutes. Let me ask you this question. Munchie, this is a food show. You got the munchies. Favorite munchie? Let's go around the room. Favorite thing to eat?
Doritos Cool Ranch. I'm not going to be crazy. That's it.
Fine.
Put it in grilled cheese.
Right.
Anything Reese's.
All right.
Peanut butter.
Haagen-Dazs, chocolate ice cream, man.
Wow. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I pretty much just clear out anything.
See, that's he's like me.
Whatever's
you
available.
Know, here's what happens when I get stoned. Canned asparagus.
Sardines.
Yes.
I just go into the fridge like every 5 minutes. Exactly. Looking in the fridge. Just mindless.
It's like mushrooms and water.
Yes.
I don't know. I wasn't even high today. I ate a burrito and took a nap. So it's one of those things.
Well, you guys were just talking about eating spleen sandwiches.
The Fadeta. Joe's of Avenue U. All right, we want to, before we finish up, where do people get a hold of you? You guys have a website, and give us a little bit of the discography or where people get your music.
Yeah.
Spit it, Wash.
All right, so revelanddimes.com. We have a site, and we have some music and videos up there. But, you know, we mostly kind of post about everything that we're doing on Instagram or Twitter, and that's at revelanddimes. So please follow us there. Come see us.
Tonight? Where?
Yeah, tonight. Bowery Electric. Yeah. About 1 hour we'll be up there having some fun. And I think that, I mean, it usually doesn't work great for me if I smoke and play, but I'm going to do it tonight.
All right,
do my best.
All right.
In honor of the occasion.
It's a holiday.
It's going to be a psychedelic experience.
Sorry, guys.
Primo, have you ever not smoked and played? That would be
If I did, I don't remember.
I'm sorry. Maybe you guys should switch today and see what happens. Who knows? It might work, it might not.
That would be again on his level.
All right. So, fair enough. I don't want to impose upon you. The band's artistic license. So. What about eating before a show? Is eating before a show
cheese. Tough? Cheese. You always eat. You always a cheese sandwich. You know why? You won't poop.
What?
Ooh, okay.
Jeez.
I usually tend not to poop when I'm.
I try not.
No.
That weighs me down.
Here's the thing: if I eat the wrong thing, I have to poop.
Rev is a bass player.
Yes,
but he's a little more voluminous than the rest of the band.
No, and I get the brown sound, so you know.
Yeah, really, it's important to poop before a show.
Okay.
That low end
scintillating right conversation.
Oh, I know, right?
It's all about the class here. The class.
We're trying to break in the Netherlands. Do you guys poop before the show? Come on.
Hope they're listening.
Help us out. Will you? But that's, hey, you know, it's the behind the scenes.
In the Netherlands, man.
So, all right, from Miami to Austin, local, you know, Brooklyn, Manhattan, even out in Montauk. A lot of gigs coming up this summer. That's exciting. All right. And a show tonight, even. How often does that happen that we have somebody on and an hour later you can see them on stage?
Never.
This is the first time, I know.
Pretty much. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. We're going to have another song by Revel and Dimes. Thank you, folks, for chiming in. That's you, Mom. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See you tonight. I know you don't mind, but now that's the first thing I'm thinking of when I'm trying to jumpstart my
for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.